Luke chapter number 2. And when you find your place, won't you stand with me? And we'll read Christmas story account. We'll read down to verse number 20, beginning of verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own country or his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again this morning for your grace, and this day we come to let our minds reflect on this glorious gift of Christ, his coming into the world. And Father, I pray that you would not only let us remember that, but let us also remember the moment when we were born again, when we heard the good news of Christ, and like these shepherds, immediately ran to see those things that were told them. And Father, we give you the glory for all that you do in our hearts and lives and throughout this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have been looking at the Christmas story over the past weeks and just bits and pieces here and there, and looking at different things that stand out along the way. And one of the things coming from last week and even throughout the week, and no different in our reading this morning, that stood out to me the most and is the normalness of the events that takes place. And I think that we see that in verse number 7 on to the shepherds, that here this woman, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And Mary, in the scene of things, did that which was normal for any woman or any mother to do. Once they had a child, they would wrap them and they would lay them down to rest after the child was born. And likewise, we find the shepherds in their normal string of events. They're in the fields with the flocks by night. It's nothing uncommon for them. That was That was part of what they were to do. That was their job. That was their life, livelihood. If you wanted to find a shepherd, you go in the field. You find them there with the sheep in day. You find them there at night, and so on it goes. And part of this, shepherds stayed with their sheep. Some figure around early spring, April to November, early 1st November, something of that nature. And I guess that's why some of the debate whether Christ was born on December 25th is there, because normally shepherds were not found in wintertime in the fields. But nevertheless, here the shepherds are just watching their flock. One of the things that stood out to me is, as we look at this extraordinary event that took place in their life, how it was in our life, how it may have been in your life, how it was in my life, that many times it is in the normal course of things that God interrupts us. That God steps into time and space and into our life with the message of the gospel, the message of hope, that which we need the most, and that which we are not even at the moment thinking about or anticipating. If you were watching your sheep at night, I suppose, a shepherd, you would not be thinking about the Messiah coming necessarily, or anything different being. You would be thinking about your shift and your job and your livelihood, your sheep, whatever shepherd think about. But here in the normal course of things, we see God stepping into their life. Because it was not just a normal baby being born in a manger, laying there and wrapped in swaddling clothes, but it was someone altogether different. It was Christ. It was the Son of God. I often wonder what Mary must have thought, or what Joseph must have thought would have happened when the boy was born. They had been given an angelic message. We know nothing else other, no other message from the angel given unto either one of them after the child was born. And so, whether they were walking in silence or not hearing from God or getting certain directions, or what things would be like when Jesus would come. And here in the very night of His birth, in the normalness of the evening, we see God interrupting in this extraordinary event. The Bible says, as the shepherd were there and they were keeping their watch over their flock by night, that an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And we believe that this is Gabriel. He seems to be the Christmas messenger, speaking and giving the message all throughout the events earlier. And here in the brightness of the night, and in all of this glory, in this normalness of events for these shepherds, this extraordinary thing happens. An angel appears. And, you know, as we look at the rest of the story, he has to say immediately, "Fear not," because that is a very fearful thing. You're watching your sheep. They're not used to this. They're not expecting this. But yet in the middle of it, angels visit and begin giving this amazing message. Not only that, but they begin to visit shepherds. And you think about all the people that could have been invited to Jesus' birth. I mean, those of us have children, when we have a child, we invite all of our family and friends. People come that we don't even invite. And I mean, a lot of people come sometimes, and sometimes not so many. But in this array of things, God the Son, God the flesh, that which Luke had read to us this morning, the mighty counselor, or the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, in the whole scheme of things, a band of shepherds keeping their flock are the ones who receive the invitation. Many of us have heard over the time that shepherds were in the lower class of people. They were not highly considered. They were not educated for the most part, or some were even illiterate. One person said that they were not thought well of. Sometimes they could be rough individuals and untrustworthy and unfaithful, and so on it goes. And yet to these people who have devoted their life, who live their life to keeping sheep out in the field, doing what they're supposed to be doing, it is those who receive the message of Jesus' birth. It is amazing all through the life of Christ that He invites unto Himself, and God invites unto Jesus Christ those who the world rejects and thinks little of? Is it amazing when we think about the gospel message and Jesus saying unto the multitude, "Come unto me," and he doesn't say all you that are rich and all you that are strong and all you that are proud and self-confident, but no, he says those who are tired, those who are weak, those who are burdened down, those, and he's saying unto them, "Come unto me." And even at his birth, Jesus is inviting the most unique individuals to come and see this child which was born, the shepherds. Not only do we see that extraordinary event of the shepherds, but in the midst of this invitation, there seems to be a whole multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying in verse number 13, "Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace and goodwill towards men." If it was not enough to see a shepherd or see an angel, the whole sky lights up with him. And all of this we're getting at the word or at the testimony of shepherds. Luke, when he wrote his gospel, went forth and to talk to those people who were there and who witnessed the events or the things that took place. And so as he is writing his gospel, as he is writing his message, he is gathering these events together, and we're reminded that this miraculous event wasn't to Herod, was it? It wasn't to the chief priest of the Jews. It wasn't to any of the other priests. But no, to these shepherds are given this great display of glory and of honor. Remind us that Christ Himself would be a shepherd, as we read in Isaiah 61, that He has come to mend the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prisons to them that are bound. But I want you to also notice the message in which they gave. It was a message of joy, and He says, "This, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And that's kind of what you'd want to hear after seeing an angel, wasn't it? Mary, when she saw the angel, she kind of pondered, what kind of salutation is this? What does he mean by what is he saying? Because people don't see angels all the time, and they're not always good messages. But here, the angel comforts them by saying, "What I am about to tell you is joy. It is joyful. It is a good message in which they have been given." It is about, in verse number 14, as all the angels gather in together, it says it is peace and goodwill towards men. It is God's grace, His benevolence towards men that they have come to tell. I want you to also notice, not only is it towards men, and does He say in verse number 10, "which shall be to all people," as Christ has come into the world, the gospel speaks to all people. It steps across boundaries, barriers, and languages. It steps across cultures and providing salvation. And I remember just recently being in Nicaragua and getting ready to preach. I was thinking in my mind, telling myself over and over, the gospel goes beyond boundaries. It goes beyond languages, because I couldn't speak to their language, but knowing that the gospel was still effective, And it was still able to save those from a different culture and with all the boundaries that stand up. And here we see this message, and the angel saying that this is goodwill towards men. This is a Savior which is born. But we also notice not only that, but he is inviting the shepherds personally, isn't he? He says in verse number 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, that you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And isn't that what this day reminds us of in the gospel? Christ coming to save mankind from their sin. But more than that, the personal implications that Christ has come to save me from my sin, that this invitation is given unto me to respond. This invitation is given unto me to turn from my sin and turn to Christ and see this thing which God has given us. He doesn't just leave the shepherds just to think, "Well, praise God, a Savior for the human race." But He brings that to them, and He says into this idea that unto you shepherds, unto you that is hearing my voice is born this day a Savior. And not only do our friends and loved ones need to know this, but that's something that we need to know. That Jesus is born this day, and it's unto me. It must be personal, not just general. That doesn't just save the whole world. He saves people out of the world. He has redeemed the world unto himself, and I know all the theological implications of this, but he's talking to shepherds here, and he's inviting them to come and see his child. Come and see the Messiah. You know, every time we read the scriptures and every time we read the gospel, that is the invitation for you as you hear it or as you read it to come and see the Messiah. Come and see the Son which is born. And you know, when we speak about, even in our own, for those of us who are born again in our Christian lives, that is an invitation as we come into God's Word and as He speaks to us through His Word, that is an invitation to come and sit at His feet. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? One's busy and got so much going on. That's me most of the time. Not that I'm Martha, but you know what I'm saying, kind of in symbolism there. And the other one's sitting at the feet of Christ. And not that one being busy and doing things is wrong, but never sitting at the feet of the Christ is missing the value, is missing what is needed most. And here, this invitation to these shepherds, to them this announcement is made, to them this personal invitation is given, to them they are called to come and see what God is doing, what God has done. You think about Jesus Christ becoming flesh and walking among us. This once in only time event. And here he invites these old shepherds who smell like sheep. Murray was making a joke, smell like a dog this morning because we got us a new family member. And a new dog, and it's been outside a little wet, and so anyway. And so she's afraid she's coming to church smell like a dog. So if she does, don't tell her that. But anyway, but these sheep, or these shepherds coming, smelling like sheep, they've been out there with these animals, you know, how that all goes. It is these that God has invited to come see my Son. The one whom He will say later, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." And He invites these shepherds. What an amazing story this is. What amazing events. But he goes on and says, look at the immediate response of the shepherds. And that is the response for you and I this morning. I hope it is. The Bible says in verse 16, it came to pass the age we were gone. In verse 15, into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see these things which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And what do they say? Let's not miss it. They obeyed. And that's simply what God wants of us as He speaks to us, isn't it? As He reveals Himself to us, as He reveals His Son to us, He wants us to simply obey. And it says not only that they simply obey, but they obeyed with purpose. Look, he goes on to say, "And they came with haste, and He told them the sign of what they should find, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." And it doesn't mean that that was the only babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Some say that this was a normal wrapping that they did with babes. But he says the babe would be laying in the manger. And you can imagine the people going left and right, looking all through Bethlehem to find this babe. I don't know, there'd be a good time to have walkie-talkies. You know, we got the boys some of those this Christmas. But we found them over here on the back side of wherever. But nevertheless, they searched the city until they found this child, as the angels described it. There, Mary and Joseph. And, you know, it reminds us of the contrast to those in Matthew, doesn't it? The Bible says in Matthew that there was several magi, or wise men, we refer to them, who came into Jerusalem seeking a babe who was born king of the Jews. And Herod, curious about all this, you know, because of the way he was, and not a very nice fellow, and so he calls the scribes and priests, calls the scribes to come together and says, "Where is the Messiah to be born at?" And they tell him. And you know what happens? The Magi go by themselves. Not a scribe, not a Jew, not another person tags along. No one else is curious why these foreigners with such treasures or such entourage, as it were, looking for a baby born in Bethlehem. No one seems to notice or follow along. This remarkable message of these foreign travelers. And yet here are these simple shepherds, these maybe for the most part illiterate shepherds, standing there watching their flock, had enough in this visitation with the angels simply obeyed. It's a sad reminder of the state of religion when you see such things as that, as you compare those. But I think the most thing that stood out to me, and I was what it says concluding the shepherd's visitation. The shepherds, as they have found the baby in verse number 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And that's basically saying they couldn't keep a secret. They just went and told everybody, everywhere they went. And all that they heard wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. So instead of telling everyone, Mary just kind of, and that idea of pondered is basically to weigh out and bring together. She's trying to figure this thing out. She's taken the angel to her, and she's taken the angel visit to Zechariah and all the events that have taken place and the shepherds, and she's trying to put all the pieces to the puzzle together. She's pondering on them. She's, if you will, having a conversation. Verse number 20, it says this, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Notice what it says at the beginning of verse number 20, "And the shepherds returned." And it struck me, I guess, I don't know why it never stood out before, but the shepherds went home. They went back to their sheep. Now, that was their livelihood. That was what they did. That was their job, their herds. That was their occupation. And they went home. They went back to what they were doing. You know, the wise man, you go back and look at them, though they went another way, it is implied that they returned home, back to their lives or whatever it was they were doing. You know, that's what God is calling us out to. Even in salvation, doesn't He? Calls us out from our former life, from our sinful disposition, from our disobedience and rebellion against God, and He transforms us, but then He sends us back into our life, our jobs, our situations, our families. All those things are the same. I know at some point we hope that they grow and relationships get better over along the way, but in the real scheme of things, when God delivers us, when He saves us, most of us, if we worked at that time, many of us got saved a long time before we worked, we still have the same job or the same occupation or the same family. We still have the same home. And the shepherds returned back to their home. Jesus reminds us that the disciples were to be separated from the world in so much as their purity and their holiness. They were not like to be like everyone else. They're not to think and to live and to act the way everyone else did. They're not to carry on in rebellion and live fully in their passions and unrestraint. But He doesn't call them out of the world, does He? In fact, what we find in the book of Acts, as Jesus ascended up into heaven, He left His disciples. They're kind of watching and waiting and wondering what's going to happen. Maybe He's going straight up and coming back down. The angel says, "What are you doing?" He's coming back and sends them on their way. He said He would keep us in this world, but nevertheless He leaves us in this world and we return home. Sometimes, and when I know in my own life, when I was saved, there was quite a challenge going back to your life and having to trust God with all those things, of relationships that don't need to be, and situations and temptations and all those things that were a part of my flesh. And God helps us to get victory over those. But here these wise, or these shepherds, they find themselves in all these miraculous events. What do we do now? Well, we go back to the sheep. That's what we do. Even in the idea of following Christ, sometimes there is that novel notion that following Christ means that we move off to the Congo or someplace like that. But it isn't always that way, is it? For most of us, many of us, our life following Christ looks a lot like our life now. A lot like the places where we are, a lot like the people that we know. Following Christ is a lot like our attitude and our heart where we are and in our occupations. And that is being salt and light in the world, isn't it? He doesn't call us up out of it necessarily, but He keeps us through it that we may, through our obedience to Him, make a difference. So the shepherds, they returned back to their jobs, back to their life, but they didn't return the same. And that's the difference for you and I, isn't it? Not returning the same. Now, there was something different. There was a song in their heart. You remember what the psalmist said, that he had set me out, pulled me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock, but a song in my heart after He has washed me and established my ways. That's what you see with the shepherds. They're going and they're praising God. They're glorifying God. They're changed. You don't see an event what they've seen and be the same. You know, truthfully, for you and I, if we would admit it, you don't experience the gift and forgiveness of Christ and stay the same. And I'm not saying there ain't moments of our life where we don't drop the ball, we don't mess up. We do mess up, don't we? But to encounter the Son of God, to behold Him and experience His love and grace in our life and stay the same. You don't hardly see that all through Scripture. Everyone that Jesus meets is changed. Either their heart is hardened because of their rejection of Him, because of their ill will towards Him, as such as some in His day, or like these shepherds, there's a song in the heart. There's rejoicing and praising God that they, out of all people, would have been called to this glorious event. And you know, isn't that the way it is with us? That as we look at Christ and His coming, that we, out of all people, God would reveal His Son to? What a humbling thought. Millions of people living in our country, millions in this area. The gentleman I was in the army with, he was an atheist, just staunch atheist, shares that stuff all the time. And yet here we stand this Christmas day celebrating and looking to the gift of Jesus Christ. We return back to our lives maybe tomorrow or Tuesday or however long your vacation is or after the turn of the year, whatever it is, you return back to your lives and you find a normalness in it. And for some of us, you know, Christmas is kind of like that. We kind of hope for the normalness of life because we can only take so much celebration, right? And we got to get some normalness going on here. And in the midst of that, as we return back, do we always return back the same? I find myself many times entering into God's Word, entering into worshiping together, just returning back the same, don't you? How that even as born-again believers, even as after having been saved and brought into the family of God and have a new life and a new nature and the Spirit of God dwelling in me, that even as we gather together weekly, that it might be a time that we come and behold Christ, and that we go back to our normal lives throughout the week, not the same as we came, but with a song in our heart, with anticipation, with joy in our souls for all the things that God has shown us, all that we have heard, and all that has been told to us. And beloved, I think that ought to be our desire as believers, that we might look to these shepherds as a great example for us, wouldn't it? That we would come together joyfully. We would come through this season joyfully enough, with enough desire that we might see Him whom the Scriptures speak of. That we might see Him who God has given to us, and that in seeing Him that we might return home, but we might do so different, with joy in our hearts. They were different. They returned home. I kind of wonder, it doesn't say, I kind of wonder how the wise men and the Magi, or whatever you want to call them, I kind of wonder their conversation when they returned home as they presented their gifts to this baby in a manger. Or this baby, not in a manger by that time. But, and you know, as we come together for Christmas, as we get ready to take communion together, that in our heart and by faith, we come and we look through these pages in our mind. We take our mind through these thoughts and through these words in which we've read this morning, and we behold Him whom the Bible says is the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, who was born a babe in a manger who was helpless, a babe in a manger who was dependent upon His mother and those around Him. A babe in a manger who was the mighty God. Isn't that amazing? And as we behold Him this morning, as you behold Him by faith in your hearts and throughout this day, I pray that you too would go home rejoicing, glorifying in God, return to your life changed, with joy in your hearts.